This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Black and Abdallah are back. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.
Splekin Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Also on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, you can watch the show on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Search ESPN Chicago. You can watch all of our shows live. And if you miss anything, you can catch up there as well. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. This is an All Calls Welcome Friday. Tyler Aki in for Bleck and Abdallah tonight. Let's get to some football now, because the Chicago Bears have their win total out. It's at 8.5, and that in the NFC North would project them out to finish third. The Lions and Packers each have win totals at 10.5. Now, the Lions' juice isn't nearly as heavy in terms of what you'd have to get to go under. So Vegas is telling you they think it's going to go Lions, Packers, Bears, and then Vikings. Now, the other interesting wrinkle, which we talked a little bit about earlier on Waddle and Sylvie, was that the Bears on DraftKings right now are minus 120 to make the playoffs this year. That means Vegas is telling you they think it is more likely than not that the Chicago Bears are going to end up in the playoffs next year. Or at least that's the way the odds are leaning right now. Whether or not you agree with that is your own call. And you can join us here, 312-332-3776, if you've got a thought on that. Now, I think it would be a colossal failure for this Bears team if they don't surpass the Minnesota Vikings next year. The Bears finishing in last place in the division a season ago. They're playing a last place schedule this upcoming year. Everything should be a little bit easier in that regard. So you've got that factor working in your favor. Also, the Vikings, their win total, 6.5. That's two wins fewer than the Chicago Bears. And I think a lot of that comes down to where the quarterback is situated for both of those teams right now. The Bears, albeit unknown what Caleb Williams will end up like with the Bears, I think any average football fan will tell you, yeah, I think Caleb Williams is going to have a better season this year than what we expect the Vikings to have with who right now is slated to be Sam Darnold. And even if they do go up and trade in the draft to go and get someone like J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels or Drake May, there's a reason why the Bears are picking their guy first and the Vikings are picking their guy anywhere between second and 10th, right? So the Bears should have the leg up at quarterback there. And quite frankly, you look at a lot of the rest of the roster, aside from the receiver position, the Bears have a leg up in a lot of those regards there. So as I look across the NFC North, do the Bears need to leap past not just the Vikings, but also either the Packers or Lions for the next season to be considered a success? 312-332-3776. I don't think they have to leapfrog one of them for it to be considered a success. And here's why. You don't necessarily need to pass them to make the playoffs. I think the NFC North next year, regardless of how Caleb plays, as long as he's better than what Justin Fields brought you in 2023, the NFC North is going to be the best division in all of football. And I believe that because of the fact that you've got two teams that won playoff games. One team was on the doorstep of the Super Bowl a year ago in the Lions. The Packers looked like a team that really caught fire towards the end of the season. And Jordan Love looks like he may be third in line of some excellent quarterback pedigree up in Green Bay. If the Chicago Bears can hold their weight defensively, play like they did defensively down the stretch, which was top 5-7 level defense down the stretch. The offense has the pieces. There's no shying away from that. The offense has the pieces. You've got one of the best wide receiver rooms in the NFC with the addition of Keenan Allen, with bringing it, with having DJ Moore on your roster from a season ago, from a great trade that was made by Ryan Poles, with, on top of that, the potential to add perhaps a top 10 player in the draft in Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers. You have the ability to maybe infuse that into your receiver room. Cole Kmet is coming off of a great year as well. You also added the piece of Gerald Everett as well. Your offensive line has a little more continuity now. Hopefully health is there, but you've brought in some reinforcements to beef things up just in case there are injuries, because when there were injuries last year, the Bears were doomed. I don't think that will be as much of the case this upcoming season just because of what the Bears have added in the offseason on the offensive line. And then on top of that, you look at the running back room, you bring in DeAndre Swift. I think that's a fantastic pass-catching addition out of the backfield there, on top of what you already had in Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. So all of that that Caleb Williams is going into, it is the best situation a first overall pick quarterback has ever been dropped into, ever. It's better than Andrew Luck's Colts, because if you look at Andrew Luck's Colts, that defense was not top 5-7. No, that defense was in the latter parts of the 20s. It's not better than what Cam Newton walked into with the Carolina Panthers. There were good pieces there in Carolina, but that defense wasn't as good as this one. That receiver room wasn't as good as this one. And I think that what Caleb is being dropped into, it really gives the Chicago Bears to make a huge step in the division with the chance to maybe pass by one of Green Bay or Detroit. But regardless, I don't think you have to make it a successful season. And here's why. The playoffs are still a possibility even if you don't get by Green Bay and Detroit. Because every year since the NFL expanded to 7 playoff teams, which happened in the COVID season of 2020, we have had a division put 3 teams into the playoffs. 2020 was the AFC North, 2021 the NFC West, 2022 the NFC East, and in 2023 the AFC North did it once again. And they almost had a fourth, too. So when I look at all of that together, the NFC North, with the expanded playoffs out to 7 teams now, the Bears don't have to leap past Detroit. They don't have to leap past Green Bay. Now, if Caleb Williams wins Rookie of the Year, they have a chance to. I think they have a damn good chance to. But they don't need to do that to get into the playoffs. And when I see the odds saying the Bears minus 120 to get in, plus 100 not to get in, I think it's interesting. Because if you ask me, is it more likely or less likely that the Bears get into the playoffs this upcoming season, I would lean on the side of no. I think it's close. I put it at like a 45-55 proposition of the Bears making the playoffs for the upcoming year. I think it's a combination of teams that were above them in the standings last year getting worse, and also the fact that I think the Bears have infused a good amount of talent into their roster, and they're really starting to enter their window of getting into the playoffs and building sustained success. And it's obviously all going to start with the quarterback position, which you're going to take number 1 overall in this upcoming draft. So with the division being what I believe is the best division in football, on top of the fact that you've got a Bears team that is growing, that is striding, that is building around a rookie quarterback and putting him in the most advantageous situation of any rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL that has been drafted number 1 overall. All of that put together, I think this team can get past Green Bay. Maybe not as much Detroit, but Detroit does play a first place schedule. I think this Bears team can get into the playoffs because of the fact that we've seen it happen the last 3 or 4 years, I should say, where a division is putting three teams in. And that doesn't mean not getting past Detroit or Green Bay makes the season a success. But what do you think? 312-332-3776. Join us here on Black and Abdallah. Tyler Rocky sitting in for the guys tonight. Mark's in Lincoln Park. What's up, Mark?
Tyler, are you there?
Yeah, I got you, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear it. Hey, first of all, thanks for driving and hosting and doing all the color.
Of course.
I was telling the producer, you know, back in 1982 when the Bears hired Ditka, and then in Jim McMahon. Jim had set all the BYU records and was extraordinarily bombastic. There was no social media. He showed up in Chicago in a limousine, dark sunglasses, we know now why, and an open can of beer. That was far more bombastic than any of the social media crap surrounding Caleb Williams. Caleb is completely legit. I could not be more excited as a 35-year season ticket holder of the Bears for what's coming down. It took the Bears 82 to 85, 36 months to win a Super Bowl. They lost in 84 to the Redskins, I think, and then they won it in 85. This team is far better off with Caleb coming in. Different head coaches. I can't speak to Eberflus, but he's surrounding himself with good coaches. Caleb's the real deal. This is as excited as I've ever been for this organization and program. They got the defense. We got a number 9 in the first round. And please, God, I pray to God, we take Caleb. I believe it's going to happen. But I think not only are they going to be a playoff team this year, they're going to compete for the NFC Conference next year. For sure, I think.
Yeah, if everything goes right, that should be the way you go.
And McMahon was crazy. I mean, this town went through it in 82. You know, it was unheard of for a former college kid to get out of a limo with black sunglasses and an open beer. And the team and the town embraced him. Caleb, by all accounts, is 10 times better than that. I like Tom Waddle, like all you guys say, I could care less about what he wears, dresses. It doesn't matter. And I hope he shows up cocksure of himself, you know. He's the cock of the walk. He won the Heisman Trophy. The dude is very, very good. He takes football very seriously. He went to Gonzaga, went to Oklahoma, switched, went to USC, won a Heisman. It's a no-brainer. It's a slam dunk. I'm very excited for the Bears.
Yeah.
And I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of money on that team.
I'm sure you do. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You have a good night as well. I'm looking at in terms of excitement level for the Bears, this is the most excited I've been for the Bears in a while. Like, I've got more Bears excitement for this team than the 2018 or the 2019 teams. Like, even though those teams, like 2018 was a great team, you got the Khalil Mack trade, and then you kind of rolled that momentum into what the 2020 team was supposed, or 2019 team was supposed to be. And I was excited for that team. But it's different when you have quarterback excitement versus defense excitement. And this is quarterback excitement that you have with the Chicago Bears right now. 312-332-3776. Jim's downtown. What's up, Jim?
Hello.
What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to say, your ads are living long enough to see a Super Bowl championship from the Bears are better than the two baseball teams. You can't live long enough in Chicago to see a World Series championship. I mean, 88 years for the Sox, 108 years for the Cubs. I've seen two championships for the Bears, 63 and 85. Mm-hmm. But the odds of seeing a football championship, I think, are better if you live long enough. I think that, but you got to live a long time to see one. That's my point.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I look at everything in a vacuum. I don't think the fact that you haven't won in forever means you can never win. Those curses are meant to be broken. I look at everything from a single lens view. It's part of the reason why one of my biggest pet peeves is when you hear about colleges who have never done something in forever or have never done something before that it can't happen. Well, guess what? Those rosters overturn every 4 years, are completely overhauled. And I think that when the Chicago Bears enter their window, and I don't think this is a championship window that opens this year. I think a playoff window may open this year, but a championship window should open starting next year. if everything hits right with the quarterback. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll take more of your phone calls on the Bears when we come back. Tyler Rocky sitting in for Black and Abdallah.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Taking your Bears calls at 312-332-3776 on this All Calls Welcome Friday. Tyler Rocky in for Bleck and Abdallah. I do have a message for the haters a little bit later on, and his name is David Kaplan. We'll do that in about 15 minutes from now. Also some college basketball stuff. Sweet 16 is underway in the Friday portion, and we've got some good games, including a big upset brewing as well, with the NC State Wolfpack up by 13 at halftime over second-seeded Marquette. Also, Gonzaga and Purdue squared up at 33 apiece. All right, I want to take more of your Bears calls. The question I threw out there was, do the Bears need to leap either one of the Lions or the Packers for next year to be considered a success? I don't think so. Now, I do think beating those teams is important for next year and ultimately will determine a lot of your success. But for next year to be a success, I don't think so, because of the fact that we've seen a division put three teams into the playoffs each year since the playoffs expanded to seven teams a conference. So you want to join us, 312-332-3776. John is on the north side. What's up, John?
Hi, I'm on a speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Hold on one second. You're breaking up a little bit, John. We'll try to reestablish you there. Cullen is in Grand Rapids. What's up, Cullen?
How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Doing real good, real good. You know, do the Bears need, would it be an improvement? Of course, I always want the Bears to beat the Packers in a lot. Always, always. But I'm a Bears fan, so I'm realistic. I happen to be 36 years old, so I know what this team does to me, and I've seen the first pick. I've seen us have the first round pick in Cade McNown, and that didn't work. So it scares me with Caleb Williams here. I'm nervous only because this is yet again the merry-go-round of the Chicago Bears quarterbacks and the merry-go-round of the Chicago Bears coaching staff, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So I want it to work. Of course I want it to work, because I wanted it to work with Justin, but I completely understand why. Of course we had to trade it, because it didn't work. It's year three. We didn't see it. We never saw it. We saw a single game glimpses of it against Washington, but it didn't stay consistent. So here we are again. And I appreciate the moves that we've made thus far with addressing the offensive line. That's phenomenal. And, you know, and especially getting Keenan Allen, even though that makes me nervous only because he's 31, which means in like NFL years, he's like 50. But if he's got, but he's a veteran, and he can, and he and DJ Moore, they can work with Caleb, make it like to ensure that Caleb knows without a doubt where they need to be. That's where they're going to be, and that's where the ball's going to be, and they're going to be there. They're going to make the catch no matter what. They can help him. But it still makes me nervous, because here we go again. And I don't want to, you know, the Lions have finally made their leap forward. Mm-hmm. And I want us to finally make our leap forward. Do we make the playoffs? No way.
But for this upcoming season?
Improvement. I don't know. I shouldn't say no way, but I need to see significant improvement, and just please give me a little bit of hope. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm asking too much. I'd finally like to see a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Colin. Appreciate it. You have a good night. Listen, I understand the cynicism that you may have as a Bears fan because of the quarterback position. Can I give you a reason why this time might be different? Like, will you indulge me on this one, why it could be different this time around? The Chicago Bears have never had a true franchise quarterback in the Super Bowl era. I get that. It's frustrating. A lot of teams have during that time. The Chicago Bears, they're like the SpongeBob meme, where Squidward is looking outside the window at Patrick and SpongeBob running and having a great time. Chicago Bears are locked up in that tower right now in Squidward's house, looking down and wishing that they were them. But you know what the Chicago Bears have also never done? They've never drafted a quarterback with the first overall pick in the draft. They've never done that in their franchise history. They've taken first-round quarterbacks. They've taken plenty of them. They've taken two in the last 7 years. Caleb Williams will be their third first-round quarterback in the last 7 years. But none of those guys have been the first overall pick in the NFL draft, because the Bears have never selected a player with the first overall pick in the NFL draft in the Super Bowl area. They've never had that pick, and that's why I think this could be a little bit different. All the stars feel like they have aligned for the Chicago Bears to finally get this thing right. Now Caleb's got to go out and prove it when he ultimately is a member of the Chicago Bears. 312-332-3776. Tyler Rocky in for Bleck and Abdallah tonight here on ESPN 1000. John on the north side. Let's try this again. What's going on, John?
Hi. Can you hear me better this time?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, I'll make it very brief. I enjoy all the sports. I'm just a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert. Don't pretend to know the why's and wherefores. Having said that, I do follow them very closely. And in the Bulls game last night, which was an absolute blowout, why on earth do you have rookies like Bidham and Terry playing 3 minutes and 7 minutes, respectively, when you've got other guys that are playing their butts off every night, getting more tired every night, and you're not giving those guys experience on a blowout game? Why does the coach do that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. Here's why, all right? And full disclosure, I didn't watch a second of the Bulls game last night. To be honest, they're an unwatchable team for me right now. Don't care to watch the Chicago Bulls. It's the poison of Jerry Reinsdorf's teams. They are unwatchable at this point. But the reason why, they were playing the Pacers last night, and I believe they ended up winning by like 25. The reason why is because the Bulls have blown those leads in the past, including to the Pacers. I think they did it twice to the Pacers last year, where they blew like 25, 30-point leads to that Pacers team. So for me, that's probably why I would guess we didn't see as much of the rookies. You saw more of the same familiar figures out there, and you didn't see Billy go out and rest his starters. Because they need these games. They can't let these games slip away. At least that's the way management views it, and the players view it, and the coaching staff views it. Me as the fan, I personally would have liked to see this whole thing get blown out. But that never came. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here. Other thing I was contemplating, too, when I was looking at making next year a success for the Chicago Bears. I think you got to go over the win total. Win total set at 8.5 right now. This team has to win 9 games next year. I would expect them to win more in the neighborhood of 10. And if Caleb really hits, maybe open the door to 11 or 12. Because then you're talking about an elite-level team if you have the rookie of the year. But when you look at the NFL from a season ago, and in particular, I want to bring up a quarterback that I think holds some relevance to the upcoming season for the Chicago Bears. And his name is Geno Smith. Geno Smith, longtime journeyman in the NFL, finally broke through after being one of the heralded quarterbacks in his draft class about a decade ago. Finally broke through with the Seattle Seahawks and Shane Waldron. Well, Shane Waldron is now your offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. Let me run these numbers by you. And if Caleb Williams can put these numbers up in his rookie season, how good do you think the Chicago Bears will be? So Geno Smith last year in 15 games, so he missed a few during the sample size, and we saw Drew Lock go in there and play pretty well. But this is the system that Caleb Williams is going to be going into, this Shane Waldron system. 36 100 yards, a little shy of 65% on the completion percentage, 20 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. He's averaging 241.5 yards per game. That cool with you as Bears fans? Because Geno Smith's not this world-beater quarterback. He's solid. In fact, his yards and everything, league average. Exactly smack in the middle, number 16. If he can be a league, if Caleb Williams goes out there and plays league average football for the Chicago Bears, which I don't think is a super high ask of him. You look at some quarterbacks of years past. I mean, say what you want about Mac Jones, but he played his rookie season league average football. Trevor Lawrence, his rookie season, played about league average football. He did have a few more interceptions than league average. He had 17, which was tied for the league lead. And he didn't have a ton of touchdowns, only had a dozen. But like passing yardage-wise, threw for 3,600 yards. That was 17th in the NFL back in 2021, his rookie season. If Caleb Williams can give you league average football, this team has a chance to make a little bit of noise this year. This team has a chance to go out and maybe leapfrog the Green Bay Packers. I think if he's a league average quarterback, you beat the Packers at least once this year. And I know that may be sacrilegious to say because the Bears have lost 10 in a row to Green Bay. But I do think that if they get this quarterback position right, you're looking at brighter days in the city of Chicago. Real quick, Nick is in Addison. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, Nick?
Not much. Just giving a call, talking about the Bears, if you want to talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Look, in the past, I know the Bears have gotten the first-round quarterback, and never the first pick, but we bring these guys in, and it's always on a team with an offense, with no offense, no offensive line, no wide receivers, no running back, and it's be the savior. Make something happen because you're a first-round pick. You put this undue pressure on the on these young quarterbacks with nothing there, or you make them see ghosts because there's no offensive line and they're constantly getting harassed. You know, or even a guy like Cutler, we bring him in as a free agent, and what did he have? Devin Hester is his number one wide receiver, no offensive line. Mm-hmm. This is the first time, I mean, I'm 42, and the first time I see the Bears are going to bring in a rookie quarterback, and there's actually a good offense around him, actually pieces around him, a solid offensive line, two stud receivers, a couple good running backs. I mean, it's there for him to succeed, I think. You know, the one thing that scares me is the coach. You know, the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got Waldron, and I think he could do good things, but I kind of feel like he could be a lame duck coach, Eberflus, you know, and that kind of scares me because if I fire him, that could stunt Caleb's growth. But overall, I mean, I'm kind of excited about it. I think the Bears can go places this year if Caleb could just be the quarterback he's supposed to be. And I mean, there shouldn't be much excuses. I mean, I know he's still going to be a rookie, but there's actually pieces for him to work with to succeed. So I'm just hoping, man.
Yeah, it's the best situation a rookie quarterback that's been taken first overall has ever been put into. I'll plant my flag on that. Like, you look at everything that's around him. Ryan Poles has given Caleb Williams every possible tool needed to succeed in the NFL. Now it's on him. Now he's the one that has to go out and prove it. Prove why he's this heralded quarterback that people like to use the G word about, generational, right? So it's on Caleb Williams' shoulders now. He has to go out and prove this is why the Bears are taking him first overall. We'll take more of your Bears calls when we come back. And also, I have to respond to something that was said this morning, a message to the haters. And that hater is named David Kaplan. All that coming up next here. Tyler Rocky sitting in for Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
sitting in for Bleck and Abdallah tonight. I will get to what Cap said about me in just a few moments. But first, Daniel's in the Ukrainian village. Wants to talk a little quarterback. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, how's it going?
What you got?
Is everybody just calling in and saying their age? I'm 34.
Thank you. Thank you for the update. Congratulations on being 34.
Everybody was saying it. So what I wanted to say is we keep saying Caleb Williams. I'm of the mindset, and I call me a hater, I think they need to draft Jaden Daniels.
Why is that?
So I'm a big, like, college football fan, and I think it really comes down to conference. Caleb Williams had his coach and won the Heisman in the Big 12. All right, Texas in there. But then he goes to USC again with his coach and plays worse in the Pac-12. Whereas the last guy that lit up the SEC at LSU, Joe Burrow, and won the Heisman, I think Jaden Daniels was setting records. He's undersized, and that's why nobody's talking about him. But he was electric playing.
Wait, Jaden really Daniels is undersized? I think he's got...
Yeah. Isn't he like 5'10", 5'11"? I thought that was...
Jaden Daniels? No, he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Oh, then I'm dumb. But I still... My point still stands that he's undersized in conversational weight. Than rather stature. I think people need to really take a look at drafting him.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Daniel. I could not disagree more. Like, Jaden Daniels is not part of this equation for me. I've laid it out before. When I look at your accomplishment in college, the accolades that Caleb Williams has, and I don't agree that he came to the Pac-12 and played worse. He came to the Pac-12 and won a Heisman. And if you look at his first 12-game numbers from his Heisman season and this past season, they're very similar. In fact, Caleb Williams was better in some departments this past season than he was during his Heisman season. You just don't see it because of the win-loss record, which was not his fault. He had a defense that was giving up 42 points a game. Good luck winning many games when your defense gives up 42 points a game. Like, it's what it is. Defense was awful. So, but in terms of Jaden Daniels, listen, we've seen one good season out of Jaden Daniels. And I get you could say the same thing about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow played one good season. Sure. But Joe Burrow is the outlier to me. And Jaden Daniels, I'm not there with Jaden Daniels. I think a franchise is going to be making a mistake by taking Jaden Daniels inside the top three. I really do. I know this has been heralded as some great quarterback class, and I think it's good, but I think it is a two-horse race in terms of guys who we will see be Pro Bowlers. And it's Caleb Williams and it's Drake May for me. Those are the two guys that, when I look at it, I think those are the guys that you got to lock into a little bit. And maybe you get a Michael Penix, too. So, all right, this was something that was said earlier today on this show, or on this station. You know, David Kaplan, host Cap and Jay Hood, every single morning here, 7 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. And this was a shot or no shot question presented by Kevin Zipak with Shay Norling and Cap. And he asked about Kevin Harlan. And Kevin Harlan, who has been on the tournament call, I believe he did the Illinois game last night. And they asked about if Kevin Harlan is the best play-by-play announcer going in sports right now.
Ian Eagle has done an admirable job filling in for Jim Nance.
Yeah, that's not top of the list, though.
No, he's not the best in the business.
I know he went to Syracuse, Tyler, so while you're there having your donut this morning and thinking Syracuse...
What is Tyler taking astray for here?
Strays! Wow. I heard his idiotic take about getting rid of NFL divisions. We'll get to that now.
Wow!
But... in Tyler's world, if you didn't go to Syracuse, you don't know anything. But if you went there,
God,
you
going
belong.
After Aki the day after his birthday.
Poor Aki. Day after being the operative term.
He's lost the immunity.
In Aki's world, if you didn't go to Syracuse, you're a loser. And if you went there, you belong in the Hall of Fame today.
That doesn't sound like him at all.
I didn't say I was imitating him. I was just giving you his perspective.
So that was Cap. Coming after me, saying that I am only a fan of Syracuse broadcasters. Well, Cappy, here's something that you should know, all right? I am actually not as big a fan of a lot of Syracuse broadcasters. I'm not going to name names. And maybe you and I can sit down sometime and talk shop. But I actually think some of the best broadcasters do not come from Syracuse. And here's why. I think it's because of the way the programs are set up and the experiences that you get. Now, listen, I wouldn't trade my college experience for anything. And I do think there are a number of great Syracuse broadcasters that have come out. You heard Ian Eagle's name get thrown around in there. I think Ian Eagle is one of, if not the best in the entire business. I think Mike Tirico's fantastic. Sean McDonough does a very good job as well. My buddy Noah Eagle, the son of Ian Eagle, does a tremendous job on NBC and with the Brooklyn Nets and a number of other things. But the thing about Syracuse is that you don't really get to hone your craft until later in college. Whereas guys that come out of other schools, they spend the entirety of their college getting reps and getting practice in. And that's why I think you get a lot of really good broadcasters from other schools. In fact, like I think about some of my favorite broadcasters. Joe Buck, not a Syracuse guy. Al Michaels, not a Syracuse guy. Doesn't have his fastball anymore, but not a Syracuse guy. There's a lot of other guys that really are fantastic at this. You don't need to go to Syracuse to do it. I don't know why I caught a stray out of nowhere in that conversation. It was a question about Kevin Harlan. Now, Kevin Harlan's not my favorite, but I think he's very good. I think Kevin Harlan, you get a lot of twisting, turning, spinning. Like you get a lot of that with Kevin Harlan. He's very energetic. The guy does the ad-lib better than anybody that I know. Like you hear the calls of the fans streaking on the fields. Like Kevin Harlan's fantastic at that. There's a lot of times also where Kevin Harlan's talking and I have no idea what word he's saying. I can't understand him at times. But just because you went to Syracuse doesn't make you great. And I said this the other day with Waddle and Big Cat. Like some of the absolute dumbest people I have ever met in my entire life have come from Syracuse University. I don't think it's this beacon of excellence that everyone maybe pumps it up to be. I've met plenty of people who do not fit that criteria. So Cap, you were a guy that I listened to a lot growing up. I admired a lot growing up. In fact, I even wanted to be for a little bit growing up. You're really good at what you do. And I thought you delivered a great line as well earlier today when he said that because of my football take about the divisions, he thinks that I'm going to end up back at Dino Sports Shop as a result of it. That was fantastic. Loved it. But no, Cap, like you, Cap is not correct on this. I don't believe that. I think some terrible broadcasters come out of Syracuse. And I'm happy to sit down and name names with you. I really am. So, yeah, just had to address that because, Cap, you are not correct on that. Because a lot of fantastic broadcasters come from other schools, and a lot of people who should be not even allowed to visit Hall of Fames have been produced out of Syracuse. So that's that. We'll talk a little bit of college basketball when we come back. Sweet 16's going on right now. And also, we've got a Song of the Night as well. A very fresh Song of the Night. That's all coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Jack McGrath and Kendra Smith for producing tonight's show. I'll be back tomorrow morning starting at 8 a.m. with Shay Norling on Basketball U, 8 to 8:30. Then the CDGA Golf Show takes over, 8:30 to 10:30, a little bit of a different time tomorrow morning as the White Sox and Tigers get things going a little bit earlier, afternoon game. And that'll be taking place on the South Side. This is your home for White Sox baseball. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us here. Tyler Rocky sitting in for Bleck and Abdallah tonight. I do want to get to a little bit of NCAA tournament. I think the tournament's been fantastic. It's been one of the best ones that we've had in recent memories. I think it's kind of put together a combination of everything we love in March Madness. A, you have some great, great, great teams that are still going. You've got UConn still out there. Houston plays tonight. Purdue's playing right now with a four-point lead. You've got a lot of one seeds. UNC lost last night. You still have a little bit of drama there to get those level of upsets. You had Alabama in a back-and-forth game last night take down UNC, the first one seed to go down. And who knows, maybe we get another one tonight, whether it's Purdue or whether it's Houston. I think you've had the perfect number of upsets. The matchups that you have in the Sweet 16 and then into the Elite Eight are amazing. And in fact, I feel like we've gotten most of our drama and intrigue in the Sweet 16 so far, with Clemson taking down the second-seeded Arizona Wildcats. You had the Alabama Crimson Tide taking down UNC in a 4-1 upset. Right now, you've got NC State with a 15-point lead on the two-seed Marquette with 9 minutes to go in that game. Yeah, Shaka Smart Bell, it's going off now. If you don't know, you will soon learn that he cannot coach in March. He has his one run that he clings to, and he really hasn't done anything else outside of that. So, and then you've got a couple of games I think are going to be fantastic later on tonight. You've got Houston and Duke, and then also Creighton and Tennessee. I think Creighton and Tennessee will be the best game that we will get of the Sweet 16. And I think Creighton has the formula for the upset there. They're about a 3.5-point underdog to the Vols. And you look at the height that they provide, and I think you look at the guard play that they have. A number of guards that can produce for you. Trey Alexander's been there for a while. He's been one of their key cogs. Baylor Shireman is this 6'7" point guard that plays very, very high-level basketball. It seems like whenever Creighton needs a play or a big shot, it comes out of Baylor Shireman. And then Steven Ashworth is a guy who just kind of pours it in from three, one of their sharpshooters there. But it's going to come down to what they can do against Dalton Knecht, who is the Mr. Everything on offense for Tennessee. And if Dalton Knecht isn't going, then this Tennessee team has a real tough time going out and winning games. And I think that this Creighton team has the defensive formula to go out and shut down a Dalton Knecht. But looking ahead to some of the games that we are going to have tomorrow on the Saturday, Elite Eight Saturday, Illinois and UConn, Clemson and Alabama. You know, I'm looking at this Illinois-UConn game. UConn has been dominant, absolutely dominant. They've looked like the best team over the last 2 years, but they haven't really played anybody along their path. Don't believe they've beaten anything better than a 5 seed along the way to a national championship and now an Elite Eight. Best team that they've played was Gonzaga from a year ago. This Illinois team is going to be the best challenge that UConn has faced. And it's because Illinois has a lot of versatile players. Terrence Shannon is an electrifying scorer. He can beat you inside, he can beat you outside, and he plays amazing defense on top of that. One of the best defenders in the entire country. And I think that's going to be a handful for UConn. I'm having a lot of fun watching this Illinois team. I think they've got other very good pieces. They've got Coleman Hawkins, who can do a little bit of everything for that team. Dane Danger wasn't great yesterday, but he's had himself a nice tournament. Marcus Damask, their transfer from SIU, has been really good. He's averaging about 15 points per game. Quincy Guerrier is another guy that I really like. I watched him a lot from his time at Syracuse and then also at Oregon. They've got a really, really strong roster. But UConn's been the best team over the last 2 years. The line right now is 8.5. I think Illinois tucks inside of it. I really do. I think this is going to be the first game UConn plays where they're not beating the opponent by double digits. I just think this Illinois team presents a different challenge. UConn hasn't faced a team like this over the course of their run. And that's why I think not only does Illinois have a chance to get inside that 8.5 number, I do think Illinois has a chance to win this basketball game tomorrow. I really do. I think they play at a tempo that can match UConn's. I think they've got the shooting. They're going to have to make their free throws because they did not do that yesterday. 15 of 29 is not going to get it done. But I do think that Illinois has a chance to take down UConn tomorrow. I really do. And then in the other game, Clemson, Alabama. This is going to be fun. I do think Clemson finds their way to the Final Four. They've got a lot of experience on that team. Bama's been a nice ride, but I'm waiting for the Bama game where they don't score 85, 90 points. It happened against Grand Canyon, but that was Grand Canyon. If they play like that against Clemson, I don't think it's going to end well for Bama. I'm going to ride with the ACC, and Clemson will get into the Final Four there. All right, it's time for your song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
That song. We go to yesterday. Beyonce and Jolene. A cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene.
Jolene, I'm warning you, don't come for my man. Jolene, don't take the chance because you think you can. You're beautiful beyond compare, takes more than beauty and seductive stares to come between a family and a happy man. Jolene, I'm a woman too. The games you play are nothing new, so you don't want no heat with me, Jolene. We've been deep in love for 20 years. I raised that man, I raised his kids. I know my man better than he knows himself. Attracted to my man, but you don't want this small to shoot your shot with someone else.
So why are we playing Beyonce's version of Jolene? Just because. Because why not? The album dropped last night, midnight, on the East Coast, and Beyonce's gone country. And she's kind of experimented with a bunch of different genres now. She has gone country, and you look at a lot of the features on this. Obviously, the song she's got the one Texas Hold'em that's been out for a while. 16 Carriages has been out for a while. I believe those dropped right after the Super Bowl commercials. But she has gone country. It's a great crossover. She's got songs with Miley Cyrus on here. She's got songs with Willie Nelson, Post Malone. She does have like a little interlude as well with Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton actually gave like her ringing endorsement of this song. She went out there and said, basically, she loved that Beyonce went out and made this song. And I didn't think I didn't have country Beyonce album on my bingo card for 2024. Do you, Kendra and Jack McGrath, like that Beyonce is swinging over to the country genre?
You know what? She's not that bad on this one.
I think she's fantastic. No, I think it's amazing.
Good. Isn't Ringo Starr also now like a country artist as
is
well?
He
made that move over from the rock to the country a little bit, kind of like that.
I did not see that. I don't know. Maybe he did. Kendra, you like it?
Yeah, Beyonce is from H-Town. She's just trying to say, put some respect on what she grew up on. She's from the South. She understands what's going on.
Getting back to the roots. Jolene, not Dolly Parton, Beyonce is your song of the night on Black and Abdallah.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
I'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning with Shay Norling for some Basketball U. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdullah. ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports.